The Sefer Chavos HaLevavos, he writes in the Shar HaPrishus, a fascinating comment. Hanashim shehalchu begeder HaPrishus HaElyon. There are a group of individuals who choose to live life, which is one of Prishus HaElyon, the ultimate abstaining from enjoying life. Lihidamos ki'ishim haruchanim. They want to consider themselves like spiritual sacrifices. V'yazvu kol mashi atridim min ha'elokim. And they want to make sure that they distance themselves from any kind of distraction, from any kind of diversion that would take their attention away from the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore, barchu min hayishuv, they escape from any kind of civilization, el hamidbarios v'hayishimon v'haharim hagvoim, and they choose to live in the lonely desert, uninhabited spaces, makom she'ein sheves v'ein chevra, in a place where there is no civilization at all, where there are no friends, where there are no other people. Ochlim mashahim motziyim me'esav ha'aretz. They just eat whatever they can find. Va'alei ha'ilanim ve'lovshim ha'beluyim v'hatzemer. They wear worn out clothing and shabby garments. Ve'hakat hazos. However, he says, as much as they mean well, as much as they want to have a close and intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this group is rechoka mikal hakitos. It is very far away from what the truth is supposed to be. Mipnei Shehem Ozvim Inyan Olamam Legamri. They were born into a world, they were born into a society, they were meant to be living there, and now they're giving that all up. That's not what the Ribono Shel Olam expects from them. Ve'ein Bidin HaTorah La'azov Yishuv HaOlam Legamri. The Ribono Shel Olam, God, never expected that a person should live life just turning a blind eye to everything that they were grown up with, to all of the society that they were a part of. And that's what he suggests from the pasuk, Lo so bara l'sheves yitzara. God did not create the world that it should be an empty place. He wanted that everybody should participate in the world and be an active part of everything that the world is all about. So the Chasam Sofer has a comment on this week's parsha. And this is why I mentioned the Chavos HaLevavos, because it directly relates to his comment. The Chasam Sofer is not found on Chumash. It's actually found in his Chidushim on Shas, where the Chasam Sofer writes that there was a discussion that went on between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro in this week's Parsha. As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu is on a continuous negotiation with Paro, and he's trying to figure out how to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So finally he goes over to Paro and he tells him that they're planning on having a 3-day holiday out in the desert. And Paro asks him, Mi va mi ha'olchem? Who do you plan to take along with you? And Moshe Rabbeinu responds, Bin areinu v'skineinu leilech ki chag Hashem lanu. He says, we want everybody to go. The children, the women, we want the husbands, the wives, older and younger. We want everybody to go along. And Paro responds, L'chuna ha'gvara, maybe I'll just let the men go. So the Chasam Sofer asks, what exactly is this exchange? What's going on? So he suggests the following, and he says, Haskamas kala chachamim, many of the great philosophers believed, Dehabedidus tov la'avodas Hashem, that the greatest way to serve God, the greatest way to be a religious person in life is to do it on your own. V'lachein, and therefore he says, Baruch hu ha'filosofim harishonim el ma'aros v'yaros ha'midbarios. Therefore, the original philosophers chose to run away and to hide and to do their avodas Hashem in private. Amnam, he says, Das Torosenu hu behipuch. Our Torah believes otherwise. Our Torah does not accept this idea. Ki adarabba. We believe that ikar avodas Hashem, the greatest way to serve the Ribono Shel Olam, is berabim. When we do it in the context of a community, when we serve the Ribono Shel Olam together. Ve'eino dome rabim ha'osim mitzvah, l'muatim ha'osim es ha'mitzvah. It is not at all to be compared when you have one person doing a mitzvah by themselves and having a relationship with God, than when you have an entire community who all does it together. V'zeh haya tainas Paro Moshe Rabbeinu. This was the disagreement between Paro and Moshe Rabbeinu. Sha'amar le, that he asked him, Miva mi'ahochim. He asked Moshe Rabbeinu, who do you plan to bring? You're telling me that you want to have an encounter with God. You're telling me that you want to have an opportunity to have a few days in private with God. And he says, Bin areinu v'skineinu. He tells him, we're going to go with everybody. It's not going to be a private encounter. And then he says back to him, no, l'chuna ha'gvar, maybe only the men will go. Ki osa atem avakshim, because that's really who you need in order to serve God. Ratzalomar, what did Paro say back to him? He said, Avodas Hashem atem avakshim. If you really want to have a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, the greatest way to do that is bibididus velo bebilbo na'arim nashim etav. What do you want? Children tucking at your leg when you're trying to serve God? You're going to be davening and a kid's going to be pulling your talus and putting a lollipop in your face? Is that really the way to serve the Ribono Shel Olam? Said Paro, the greatest way to serve him is l'chuna agvar. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds and he says, no, that is inappropriate. That is not the way we serve our God. The way we show the greatest level of servitude to God is to say, Adarabba, gam miknenu imanu, every part of our community is going to come along with us. Binareinu v'skineinu nelech. We're going to take everybody along. And even though sometimes our lives are going to be a distracting force and sometimes we're not going to be able to pay attention as much as we should, that is what it means to have a relationship with God, because that is why we were created on this world. Exactly what the Chavos Al Avavos writes, that this is Ein Bedin HaTorah La'azov Yishuv HaOlam Lagamri. This is not the Torah way at all of the way we are supposed to live life. And this is a comment that was made by one of the great Hasidish Rebbes, Rav Naftali Rupshitzer, when he said, the Pasuk says, Mi Besarcha Al Tesalim. So obviously the Pasuk means, when one is giving tzedakah, you have to make sure to prioritize and give to those who are closest to you. However, Rav Naftali Rupshitzer said, perhaps it means also, Mi Besarcha Al Tesalim. Don't be so quick to ignore and to overlook your own body. You were created in this world, and the reason why God created you with a body and with a community and with all kinds of hanos olam hazeh is that you should be able to have the maximum experience of olam hazeh. And it doesn't mean that you should just disregard everything that your life is all about in order to serve God. Mi besarcha al tesalim. Don't turn a blind eye from your own body, from all of your community, from everything that you grew up with. It is an integral part of who you are. So Rashi comments in the opening words of Sefer of Parshas Kedoshim. So there we're given the general heading of Kedoshim Tiyu, where we're told we should all be holy. Now, what does it mean practically we should all be holy? So, we should all be holy, that's basically a general heading. It means you should keep all the mitzvahs, and that's the way to be holy. But, Rashi there says, Parsha Zu Bahakel Nemra. Rashi comments that this Parsha of Kedoshim Tiyu was said in the presence of the entire Jewish people. So what does Rashi mean, that Parsha Zu Bahakel Nemra? Weren't all of the Parshiyos HaTorah said in the presence of the Jewish people? Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu teach the Torah to everybody? So what do we mean, Parsha Zu B'Hakel Nemra? So some of Farshim explain, perhaps what Rashi means is, that he's teaching us what it means to be Kedoshim Tiyu. Some people think Kedoshim Tiyu means, like other religions, swearing to celibacy, and locking a person up in an asylum that they'll be all alone and be able to concentrate and think on their own, totally disconnected from humanity, having nothing to do with society around them. But Rashi teaches us that that's not what Kedoshim Tiyu means. Rashi says that what Kedoshim Tiyu is, that being a Kadosh means that one is finding themselves fully engaged in the society around them. And Kedoshim Tiyu means that we are a part of the global community. It means Kedoshim Tiyu is a person who goes to work every day and has the temptations and has all the difficulties and has all the struggles and is fully engaged with everything going on in society and having a life with wives and children and having all the distractions that that brings along with it. And yet, Rashi says, that's Kedoshim Tiyu B'Hakel Nemra. The greatest way to be a Kaddush is a person who understands that I have to live a life of Kedusha and Tahara when I am completely engaged in the society that I live in, like the Chavos Al Avavos taught, and like Moshe Rabbeinu in our Parsha says, Binoreinu uviskineinu nelech. There is no one who is left behind, because this is an important facet of what being a Jewish community is all about. And this is what it means, that collectively we have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because that's really what he expects of all of us. I was giving a shiur on the West Side a number of years ago, and a woman came over to me after the shiur. I really don't know her, but she said that she was a Balas Tshuva many years ago. And I started to talk to her about what got her to become a Balas Tshuva. Sometimes you hear unlikely stories about what inspired a person. It was amazing what she responded. She said to me that she was living on the West Side of Manhattan, and she decided one week that she's going to hear the beginner service in one of the shuls on the West Side. It was Rabbi Buchwald who was running the Minyan. I think he still runs the Minyan there. So his son happens to be a close friend of mine. We grew up together, and she told me the following. I called Rabbi Buchwald, and I said, I don't know who this person is, but you really inspired someone to become a Balas Tshuva from something you probably never even paid attention to. So what happened? She told me she was there, the first Shabbos that she ever had experienced in an Orthodox setting. So she comes to Shul, and she sees they're having this beginner service, and in the middle, the rabbi got up to give a drasha. And she said his 4-year-old son, who happens to be my friend, comes up and he starts talking at his father's talis and playing with his father's notes, as any other 4-year-old would do when his father was doing something important. And she carefully observed as the rabbi picked up his son, gave him a hug and a kiss, and didn't get angry at him, and embraced him, and asked him to please wait a few minutes until he's finished with what he's doing to be able to tend to his son's need. And she said at that moment she appreciated and she fully understood the beauty of what it means to be an Orthodox Jew. She said, you can be a rabbi who's inspiring other people, but you never lose sight of your family. You never lose sight of your children. Because that's an important part of what it means to be an Eved Hashem. We don't look at our children and our families as a distraction. We don't say, I have so many other things to do, I can't pay attention to my kids. No. We give the love and attention to our children at the appropriate time, and we make sure that that does not interfere with our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And she said that alone is what inspired her to become a religious Jew. Such an amazing story. Such a simple story, but it's so amazing how sometimes people pick up on nuances, on subtleties, but they are so meaningful and they're so important. If we take a trip back to Parshas Vayetze, so we read the story of Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu, one of the great Avos HaKadoshim, takes a dramatic leave from his parents' home, and he runs away to Yeshivas Shem Ve'Aver, and he ends up being there for 14 years. And as we know, Yaakov Avinu at this point was being completely disconnected from everything he grew up with. He was growing up in the home of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu, and now Yaakov has no choice but to run away. And he's living a life of incredible integrity. And now all of a sudden he's thrown into the lion's den and he ends up in the house of Laban. But before he gets there, we know that Yaakov Avinu is granted a divine revelation. Yaakov Avinu falls asleep. And immediately upon falling asleep, he wakes up and he says, "Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati." I had no idea that the presence of the Shekhinah was here. Rashi says, "Had I known, I never would have gone to sleep in such a place." Can you imagine someone would ever desecrate a shul to go to sleep right in front of the Aron? Who would ever do such a thing? So the Yapter Rav made a comment that perhaps what Yaakov Avinu meant to say was, this was a pivotal moment in his life. It was the first time that he ever engaged with society. He was living in his little cocoon, in his little nucleus, with Yaakov Avinu, living with Yitzchak and Avraham Avinu, and they were learning the Torah together. Now all of a sudden he ventures out into the big world and he says, wow, Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh? We're expected to find the presence of God even here? V'anochi lo yadati. This I never knew. This is not the way I was raised. This is surprising to me. And that is the lesson that Yaakov Avinu teaches us on the very first encounter that he has with the world, that is the way of a Torah Jew. That's what it means, to find spirituality in every aspect of our lives, including when we're out in the house of Laban, and when we're running away from our brother, and we're out doing whatever we have to do. Mi v'amia holchem. Always ask yourself that question that Paro asked. Who do you intend to be a part of this religious experience? And the answer Moshe Rabbeinu let out for us in this week's Parsha is, Binarenu uviskinenu nelech. We take all of our society with us, and that is the way we serve God, because that is the greatest way to serve God that we can ever do. And you see that Yaakov Avinu comes down to Mitzrayim, and the way we're introduced to the whole story of Yaakov Avinu is, Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim shvaz reishana. Some of Farshim say that the greatest virtue of Yaakov Avinu is he can be living in the thickness of the decadence and immoral society. You can have Yaakov Avinu who is living Be'eretz Mitzrayim in the middle of the worst, and yet he remains true to the great Yaakov Avinu that he was always supposed to be. He found godliness even in Mitzrayim. This is something he taught Yosef HaTzadik. This is the way Yosef was able to live and sustain himself throughout his years in Mitzrayim. And this is what Yosef taught his children, Ephraim and Menashe as well. Some suggest this is why we give our children a bracha. Yisimcha Elokim ke'Ephraim v'cheMenashe. What? There was no one else in history that was great like Ephraim and Menashe? What was so unique about them? The answer is that Ephraim and Menashe grew up in Mitzrayim, in the middle of everything, in the middle of the culture and society, and yet Ephraim and Menashe remained true to who they were supposed to be, because that's what a Torah Jew is all about. Bin Arenu uvizkinenu nelech. We could be Yaakov Avinu living in Mitzrayim. We could be the Jewish people, but Loshinu Shemam Loshanu Mamabusha. We never change our essence and the core of who we are, because that's a part of why the Ribbono Shel Olam created us the way we're supposed to be. Mi b'sarcha al tasale. We don't turn a blind eye to everything that we grew up with. We take all of it and we integrate it into our Avodas Hashem, and that is the greatest way that Rashi says, Kedoshim to you. Parsha zu b'hakel nemra, the only way to be a Kadosh v'tahar is if a person takes all of those experiences, brings them along with them, and then offers all of that and more to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the service to him. Rav Hanani ben Akasha Omer.